So she's saying, men have been predators. You know, they rape us, they kill us, they stalk us, they gaslight us. Like, they do all these things to us, basically. They mm-hmm. shut us down. They try to keep us at home, blah, blah, blah. So, and yet, we are attracted to them. If you're heterosexual, you like men, this is who you like.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Laundry Basket Podcast. This is Salima.
And I am Rita.
And we are doing another ramble this week. So such a needed time of the week for me, because I have no one else to just like brain dump to. And Rita just listens without, sometimes there's judgment, but it's like necessary judgment.
I don't know if I have judgment. I have opinions, yeah. But that doesn't mean I judge others for thinking okay. differently than me.
Okay. I'm fine with a little bit of judgment. I think it keeps us humble.
On track?
Yeah.
On our toes.
Yes. Yeah. So
okay, well, do you have something to share that you think I'm going to judge you for?
I mean, maybe. I feel like this is a controversial take, but sometimes coffee drinkers are a little bit much. Like, I love... I do love coffee. I love the flavor of it. I can drink it black. But do I need it to function? Not necessarily. Does that make me feel like I'm better than people who do need it to function? Yes. Sometimes. I don't know. My whole life I've lived with people who are just like, I feel like they're drug addicts. Like, it's like, if they don't get the coffee in the morning, it's like the end of the world and they're not going to be able to do anything correctly. And I just think that may be something to take a step back from and assess. Like, when does it become a crutch and not a tool? This is my question.
There's so many ways, and I'm glad you bring this up. I could talk about coffee, all angles of coffee, for days on. So this is a nice angle. I mean, I guess it is a little bit of an addictive substance, right? Mm-hmm. Caffeine, I think, can be addictive. I think if you are addicted and then you don't drink it, I think there's the small withdrawal, which is usually like a headache or like a foggy brain a little bit. How much of it is acted out and how much of it is real, though? How much of it is like I'm going to use this to be cranky all day kind of thing? And how much of it is for real?
Like, I can't do anything.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I love my little cup of coffee every day. However, if I don't have my coffee, I will function the same way. I don't know if this is because biologically I'm not addicted. Because I'm not in the body of someone who's that person. Like, have you talked to people who need it in a way that's like compassionate?
Yeah, like, I mean, compassionate, I don't know. My husband Steve definitely is like, needs it to have a productive work day. And I'm like, really? What would happen if you just didn't? Like, what would happen? Well, we try it once ever, but no, we've never tried it.
You've never tried it.
I don't think we ever will.
Like, why would I go through that? Yeah. I don't know. But here's the thing for me. I saw this really nice post 3 weeks ago, and I think I'm going to like find a really nice artist to write it nicely and frame it, because it said, coffee is not a drink. It's a moment.
Mm.
And that really resonated with me as someone who really enjoys coffee without being addicted to it. So it's true that what I enjoy about coffee, like, of course I enjoy the taste, but I really like the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different moments of coffee. Sometimes it's me alone in the morning before I start my work day. Sometimes
like
it's
me time.
Me time. Sometimes, many times it's actually shared. I usually will have it with Julio in the morning. If it's not Julio, if somebody comes over, I really enjoy making coffee for people. So, like, it's a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a person, like these people who say that they're cranky or can't work, maybe it's because they're missing their moment. It's like their little routine has been put off. It's like, do you have a routine that you really like, that if somebody or somehow you can't get through that routine, you feel like your day's off.
For sure. Yes.
Like, let's say you can't brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. And now you have to, like, go to work with the taste in your mouth because you somehow, the water wasn't running that morning and you couldn't, like, wash your face and brush your teeth. And now, like, everything's like, ugh, okay. In your day.
Yeah, when you say it like that, I'm more compassionate towards these people. I get it a little bit more. Like, it's not a physical thing. It's more of like a routine, like a mental thing.
It is. I think it has that effect on people.
Okay.
Coffee That's just a very has that
sweet
effect.
Way.
Yeah.
Framing
I
it.
I would.
Because it's not like, even with Steve, it's not like he, because there'll obviously be days where like we're busy in the mornings and he doesn't get it until later. And mm-hmm. like, it's not like he can't do the things we're doing. He's just a little bit grumpy. And I guess I'm like that. If I wasn't able to brush my teeth, I would definitely be pissed. Like, I would definitely be disgusted and upset. So
like your whole day would be in the back of your mind, you'd be waiting for that moment that you could finally just brush your teeth.
Yes.
So it's the same thing. Sure. Like, they're just looking for that moment that they can just finally get to their coffee.
You need to get this sign made. You need like a little designated coffee area for it.
Yes, it's going to happen. I mean, this is for real going to happen. So I choose to see it that way.
Okay.
Because I don't know how much of the whole like withdrawal system is true symptoms.
Yeah.
I don't know. That we'd have to ask an expert about that.
Yeah.
So, remember how we talked a little bit of the fashion thing about the running shoes and all?
Oh, yes.
I've been thinking about that so much that we're doing a segment on fashion right now.
Yay.
The first thing I was thinking about was I was making a mental list of all the things that I very much think are cool and look good now that not a few years ago, but when I was like younger adult and teenager, for sure I would have thought like, no way in hell are you ever gonna see me with
wearing that. Ooh, I love
so
it.
So here's my list so far.
Okay.
And everybody's probably thinking about their list right now.
Yep.
The first one on the list was the running shoes with like regular outfits that are not the gym. Mm-hmm. So that was number one. We've established that. Another thing, big thing, tucked in shirts.
Oh.
Have you had, like, for me, a tucked in shirt was just no, that's not fashion.
Interesting.
Do you ever have that? Like,
no, I think I guess in elementary school and middle school, I guess I didn't do it very often, but I think in high school and college, I would tuck in shirts. Like, I've never had like a strong feeling about it.
So I had this thing. I'm like, I don't know if it's just me, but I had this thing when I was younger. I had these the potties. Basically, they were like the ones that, you know, it's like a whole suit, like a whole what do they call them? We have them nowadays. They're back in fashion, where it's like
a set.
It's like it's a t-shirt that. It looks like a bathing suit t-shirt.
A bodysuit.
A bodysuit.
Okay.
I wish that one day was like, this is cool. We're going to do this again. But when I was a kid, like that was a big thing. And I used to wear those all the time. But then at some point, it changed. And I think it was in middle school. We were in an all-girls school. And we had uniforms, these big skirts. And like, we had to tuck in our shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where it came from. To be a rebel, you kind of tuck it out or you roll it, you don't tuck it. I don't know. But tucking in shirts, I know I had a phase where you just couldn't see me with jeans and a tucked in t-shirt. Like, what? Mm. No. So now I tuck in my shirts a lot.
I like it. I think it can really like make things feel and look sleek. But obviously there's a time and place for it.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's great because there was a moment in life where a lot of women walked around with tight shirts over their jeans and then the whole area of where the buttons and the zippers are, and it would just like bulk.
Funky. Yeah. But you know what? The bodysuits, like, it does seem like they come in and out all the time. Like with the 80s, it was such a cool look. I love the 80s fashion with the bodysuits and the leg warmers and all that. Like,
there you go. I was a kid in the 80s and the early 90s. So it makes sense that I had bodysuits back then. yes. even as a child.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Another one, big one for me that I hated and now I love it off when we talked about this, turtlenecks.
Oh, yeah. I used to hate them so much. Yeah. Too. One time my parents sent me to school in elementary school with a turtleneck that I think it had like reindeer on it. And I was so deadly embarrassed. Like I was crying and calling them, trying to get them to come pick me up. And you know, my parents, there was no way. They're like,
oh my God, no way.
I was like having my friends out at recess, like huddle around me. So no one would see me in this fucking shirt. Like that's how traumatizing turtlenecks were to me.
Okay. You took it to another level.
You just unlocked a memory that like I didn't even hadn't thought about in years.
I think I hated turtlenecks because for me, they represented the cold. Because my mom just bought us a bunch of turtlenecks and everything was turtlenecks. It was like you wore a t-shirt with a turtleneck underneath. You wore a sweater with a turtleneck underneath.
Underneath.
You wore a jumper with a turtleneck on it. Like it was like any opportunity to put a turtleneck underneath was there.
It's the 90s.
It's and it's the cold. Like it was just so cold. And so I hated it. Now
it's
I
so
love
like
them.
Claustrophobic. Yeah. I'm still they're growing on me.
They're growing on you. I think they feel good because they keep me warm. and I think they look very elegant.
You get like, it now.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Okay.
Good one.
Another one. Fanny packs.
Ooh, I love a fanny pack.
Yeah. Have you always loved them though?
One. No, definitely.
Are they always cool?
So embarrassing as a child. Yeah. And my mom's name was Fanny. So it was just like a loaded word, loaded situation.
I feel like I've seen your mom
wearing a fanny
pack. Yeah, like fanny packs were a thing for your mom, definitely.
For sure.
And I remember, same thing than the bodysuits, when we were way younger, I do remember a time where I thought they were cool that we would go to garage sales and we would buy them. And they were in this weird fabric and they were like purple and like fuchsia and purple and green and like they just had all these 80s colors.
Always purple and green. Like
I love the combination of purple and green. and then when I was in high school and young adults, fanny packs were just the worst.
Yeah.
Like who, especially in high school. No way. Fanny pack, you want to be bullied to the day you die. You show up in a fanny pack. Because when I was in high school, it was like these little purses, like very little right under your armpit purses.
Yes. Yeah, I totally know the purses. Yes. It's so funny because we have this like age gap of like 4 or 5 years and I'm like thinking about all the things you're saying and I'm like that was true for me in elementary school.
Yeah.
So I'm like when I went to go visit you guys in in 5th grade or whatever, I got one of those purses as like a 5th grader.
Like, what are you carrying? What are you carrying?
Literally, like, my library card.
Well, I carried my CD player and later on my iPod Shuffle.
Oh, so this bag had some space to it, at least.
Yeah,
For the CD player.
For the CD player. Okay, but now I love fanny packs. I have one and I want to buy more, especially when you travel. They're so good.
Oh, so handy. And you can also... My friend that we're actually about to travel with, him and his husband both have them, like multiple, and they wear them. They call them their MERS,
their
man purse, and they don't wear it around their waist like you would. They like, you know, put it over the arm across the body. So
you can change things around.
Versatile.
So good. Yeah. And then your hands are free.
Yes.
Okay. Another one that I definitely did not even consider when I was young as a thing. And it's tote bags.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was basically an elevated grocery bag. It wasn't an actual purse that you could carry around.
Right.
Like tote bags were just because you kind of went somewhere and you needed... Really, they're just for groceries. That was in my mind.
Maybe it was an Olympia thing, but I think we did kind of use them.
Okay. In Toronto, nobody used tote bags.
Nobody was doing
that.
Yeah. We were ahead of the times.
Yeah, you guys are
with fashion.
Setting trends.
Yeah, we definitely use them. Weird. But they are so much more in style now. Like, it's now a cool thing to do.
Would you get that Marc Jacobs, the tote bag?
Oh, God, no. No. I think if I were to ever get a designer bag, I wouldn't want it to say the name on it. I would want it to just be very beautiful and sleek.
Yeah.
But definitely not. No, my favorite kind of tote bags are like the canvas ones that are like, have some random like food co-op logo on them or like little painted dogs, like something stupid. Like, I don't want a fashionable tote bag. Like, it just defeats the purpose. Like, I'm throwing my shit in there. It's not that kind of bag. You know?
I agree. The tote bag has to say laid back. It shouldn't say trying to be cool and showing people my money. Like,
It should say the opposite of that. It should say maybe I'm broke. Maybe I'm homeless. You'll never know.
I'm so glad it's in style. That's what it's saying.
Same with fanny packs. It's like the same energy.
Yeah, same energy.
Like falling on a budget. Love it.
Okay, another one that definitely did not make sense and now does was oversized fashion. Like oversized anything, like oversized blazers, oversized sweaters, like everything had to be tight.
Yes.
And like as tight as possible.
Yes.
And as tiny as possible.
For sure.
Or else you're basically a homeless walking around with oversized. Like, what is that?
Again, with the homeless thing, now it's in fashion. It's like you look cool with the baggy jeans.
Yeah.
A nice oversized blazer. Even like a baggy t-shirt can be really cool if you style it right.
Absolutely.
I love that. Yeah. I'm so glad this is the chapter that we're in.
I think the oversized and the baggy and all, I think it came from Asia. Because I remember years back when we were still in the whole like tight everything fashion.
Yeah.
Looking at knowing some people in Toronto who are Asian and looking at some Asian stuff, I don't even know how. They had a lot of baggy going on.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you. We inherited.
To Asia.
So I'm thinking of like an outfit that today I would wear and I would look cool in.
Yes. Like you have to involve all of it.
All of it. Imagine. So you have the baggy pants. Okay. Maybe it's a crop top. Like the top is, I feel like not everything is baggy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have an oversized blazer.
Yes.
You're carrying a fanny pack. Or you got a fanny pack on your waist.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional way. And running shoes. Oh, I know. Sorry. The top is a turtleneck.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't.
That's
when
I lost you. That's when I lost you.
Yeah.
All right.
It's too much. A blazer and a turtleneck? I'm having like flashbacks.
You're like too tight in there.
Yeah.
But anyways, those are the ones I was thinking about, like things that were definitely uncool that today are like super in fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how the trends be changing every 10 minutes, it feels like. I've been hearing, maybe hearing is a exaggeration. I've been seeing TikTok,
being on TikTok
videos.
Yeah.
People talking about the whole phenomena of around boy moms.
What
have
is
you
that?
Heard of this?
Nope.
Thing? Okay.
Nope, I'm not on TikTok, so I haven't been hearing.
Well, it's not even just TikTok. I think it's like it's a thing in general, like in life, that there's certain moms, whether they only have sons or they have a son and a daughter, whatever combination, but they make being a boy mom like a key part of their personality. So like, I'm a boy mom, so I just like don't get like the girly stuff. Like, I don't really need to deal with all of that or worry about all of that. Like, and so that's like a layer of it. But then on TikTok, there's been this other layer of it that's really freaking creepy and like Freud would be having a heyday with it, where they're just talking about how. So this one influencer in particular had a video that went viral, and she was basically saying, I love my daughter, but my son has my whole heart, and he's just like my favorite person in the world, and he's so handsome, and sharing like his school photos of every year and how like just just sharing about her son in a way that's like so passionate and so different to the way that they talk about their daughters. And it's just like, this is some therapy bills in the future for your daughter, yeah, first of all. And yeah, also there's like the like more stereotypical things that we hear about, nothing related to TikTok, but like moms wanting to wear white to their son's weddings, which I think like in some context is fine, but it's kind of weird when you really think about it.
You're the one getting married, mm-hmm, to your son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's just like some tropes about it. There's some people who say it out loud and that's creepy. There's the more like subtle, like, I just don't really get girl stuff. I'm just a boy mom kind of thing. That's just like, okay, but you are a girl. So like, I don't know.
Yeah. I have not come across those people. I hope I never come across those people because it's freaky.
It's so creepy.
It's creepy. Like, I know that there's in sometimes, you know, there's tendencies where in a family, maybe like there's a bigger link between mom and son and then daddy and daughter. Sometimes right, the crisscross happens.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons. But this, like, going public about it, I guess, like making it a thing, you know?
Like saying it out loud. It,
yeah. That's, you know, I haven't heard that, but I did think about something. This is funny. I had this thought in my mind and then I heard a woman who like echoed it precisely, because I, for the most part, you know, I don't really dwell and feel bad for men in general, right? Because I'm like, well, that's just not my space. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, when they'd be like, yeah, toxic masculinity and blah, I'm like, well, I don't know, guys. Like, you kind of created that.
Yeah.
You guys, don't, like, that's your problem. Gosh. Like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Like, we're still suffering because of your toxic masculinity. Now you think that I'm going to feel bad because of your, I'm like, no, you deal with that. I get it. Some men want to deconstruct and they want to like, and it's not cool because they also are suffering in their own way, but it's just not my fight, right? Like, it's just not my interest. There's people who are into that. There's, I guess, psychologists who deal with that stuff. It is literally the last conversation I would want to take part in this world, right?
Yes. So, I love you for saying that.
Yeah, but then I was like, huh, what if I have a son? I remember thinking that and be like, fuck, then I'm going to have to actually like care about his feelings of masculinity or whatever. So then I was like, you know, I'm exaggerating, still, it did cross my mind.
It's a good point.
Like, oh, I can't, like, if I have a girl, cool, I can just ignore all of that. But if I have a son, ever, what?
Damn. That's such a good point.
Yeah. I don't know about these boy moms. Like, I think their minds are somewhere else. Like, honestly, I think their minds are in the gutter. But
I think in general, these boy moms are making it worse because they treat their sons like they're some like superior race. Yeah. True. Like,
true.
So that makes the girls in the household feel like shit.
Like less than.
And then it makes the boys think that they're just entitled to this weird treatment, which is horrible. Like, that's exactly what you don't want to do, I would say. Like, instead, you should be teaching your son how to be respectful of women and how to, you know, ask the right questions and how to be an ally. Like, all of these things instead of just, like, worshiping the fucking ground they walk. I mean, still, you can worship them, but you should worship your daughters too. Like,
worship them.
Maybe just, like, love them. Equally,
yeah, don't worship
as
them
as equally as possible.
If you're gonna worship them, it shouldn't be based on their gender or sex, like, right, it should just be because you love them because they're your kids, period.
Right.
But yeah, I guess it's a tricky situation. I don't know how these women end up like that, and you're right, Freud would be like all up on that.
Oh my god, a whole like novel to write about that one.
I guess this goes back. Remember one time I was telling you that I was watching a documentary that was saying that a lot of social media had actually like pushed back women in like their quote unquote their place in history, instead of advancement. There's been a lot of, this is another example.
Sure. Yeah, this falls into that category, 100%.
Yeah.
But these women were existing off of social media too.
Yes, now just they loud were
about it. And
exactly.
Weird.
And they're like, they have a name for it, like a boy mom.
Boy mom. Like, yeah. No, there's women who have like hats that say boy mom. Oh, like it's like a personality thing.
I'm sure they also have MAGA hats. Oh, those women. Sure. It goes together. It's like for 2-for-1. Sure. It goes together.
Yeah. Gotta be.
It's a flip hat. On one side, like in the inside, it says MAGA.
Reversible. For every occasion.
Okay, well, since we're talking about this whole gender thing, I heard something and I wanted to bring it up because we're not going to have any answers, but I'm bringing it up. So laundry basket people, we don't go there often. So get ready. Okay, so I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. It's three girls, they're in Argentina, and they speak about all kinds of things that happen to them and how they feel. And one of them had previously hinted that sometimes, well, she's bisexual, okay? That she tends to hang out and date men kind of like as a, like immediate reaction, she'll date men. But then once in a while, she'll find a girl and she'll be like, swept off her feet. Mm-hmm. So she brought up this interesting perspective, and she said that for the last few months she's been dating a girl after a streak of like failed dating men situations.
Right.
And she was saying that she had kind of pinpointed a specific emotion, sensation, that's the word, where she was like, you know, so for thousands of years, men have pretty much been predators of women. So she's saying men have been predators. You know, they rape us, they kill us, they stalk us, they gaslight us. Like, they do all these things to us, basically. They mm-hmm. shut us down. They try to keep us at home, blah, blah, blah. So, and yet, we are attracted to them. If you're heterosexual, you like men, this is who you like. And there's this messed up situation where you're attracted to someone who actually also has this energy and so much, like, in our genes and so many, you know, in our ancestors and everything, so much violence towards us, but we are attracted to them. Mm-hmm. And she was like, that undertone, she was saying she could feel it kind of always when she's dating men. And she's like, but now the benefit of dating a woman is like, that is not there.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. I mean, you and I are not bisexuals, so it would be right. cool to have a conversation maybe with a lesbian or someone else or someone who's has it, but it's kind of like, oh, huh. You know, of course, I'm sure dating a woman has all its other cans of worms and stuff,
for sure.
But at least that, she was just saying, just that sensation feels less stressful. Like, she's like, it's like there's a radar in my being that is always on,
and it just gets to be off,
and it
like
gets to
rest. No, yeah. I can like, weirdly, I can like feel that. And I, until you'd said it, I'd never thought about this before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you said it, it's like, oh yeah, that is there with men. Just
it is there. Yeah.
Whether it's romantic or whatever, like walking down the street and there's a man, like
yes.
you feel it. So, yeah.
I feel like even if, okay, so our partners are obviously not those kind of men, right? Like, I'm not walking around Julio,
like
not
on sleeping edge.
At night on edge. Yeah, exactly.
Right. No.
But sometimes thoughts go through my mind that are the results of so many generations in society.
Generational trauma.
And, yeah.
It's like not even necessarily our lived experiences. Mm-hmm. It's experiences from our ancestors that we don't even really know, but maybe are just causing this yeah. stress and like tension in our body. That's
yes.
so crazy to think about.
And even just reading, I mean, the headlines of, oh, this woman is assassinated by her ex-boyfriend or a woman. And you're like, fuck, again? Like, what? Like, it just, gang rape, whatever. And you're like, what the fuck? You know, it's always, and so you just,
or even like shooters, like shooters, school shooters, like public shooters.
Yeah, they're men,
it's
usually
almost always a man.
And so Yeah, it's like we're walking around this earth knowing that there's clearly
what would be one... the safer choice.
Yeah.
Woman. But we're just choosing danger.
But even the thoughts sometimes that I have that are like not that I dwell on them, but they like they appear. It's like this little flower that comes out. Yeah. And you're like, wait, why are you here? Like, why did you just...
Yeah, painting it as a flower is a really nice way to...
Because it's like a wild thing that... Like, it's not like a seed that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm watering the seed. I want this thought to grow. But I'll have a thought. Like, I'll be like, am I making more money than Julio? And then I'm like, wait, what? Who fuck? What? Why is this a thing? You know what I mean? Or like, maybe I should... Like, these little thoughts that you have that you sometimes think, you know? Like, just... That if I was with a woman, I wouldn't be thinking, who's making more money? Would she, you know, would it make sense if, I don't know. Money is an example, but it's not the only one, right? Like I'm trying to think about, here's a big one for me. I honestly don't have that much time to cook. And once in a while, I'm thinking, would Julio want a woman who cooks? And I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck? Yep. Like he's not thinking, does Rita want a man who cooks? Like, he's not thinking that, right? If I was with another woman, I wouldn't think that.
He's not thinking, like, would Rita want a man who hunts? Like, he doesn't give a shit about the gender roles that are on him. Like, they're not, I guarantee you, most men are not, like, thinking about that. Maybe the money thing.
The money thing is still, because the money thing has replaced the hunting thing, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
But, yeah, like, there's still primitive... There's primitive, like, settings in us.
Intrusive thoughts
that, like, our partners are not. Julio has never asked me to cook, has never made a comment about, oh, you work too much and you don't cook, or, like, oh, instead of taking a nap, why don't you cook? Like, it's never, ever.
No.
But in my mind, sometimes it'll come out. I'd be like,
Same.
I cook more because, you know.
And I, like, apologize for it. And Steve's like, it's fine. Like, what? Like, what the fuck are you apologizing for? Like, generations of women fought so you could just get takeout tonight. Just, like, what the fuck are you doing? You're being regressive to feminism.
Yes, but it's there. So, I mean, I'm glad that that's what we're worried about, that we're not worried about being stalked and, you know, whatever other women, unfortunately, or like men were like, no, I can't wear a condom because I don't like it. And then you just end up pregnant. God.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like women are still going.
We just simply would not be with men like that. Let's be real though. Like,
also, we have a choice not to because of the society we live in. But going back to that, she was just like kind of saying, she was like, yeah, we are attracted to a gender who is clearly and has proven record of being perpetrators of violence against us. And
bad news.
Yeah, and she was like, with women, like with this woman that I'm with, I don't have any of that. And I was just like, what a dynamic.
Yeah, what a dynamic. Like, thinking about that, even with the money example you gave, I'm like, it just feels like two partners like bringing a lot of abundance to the table, whether it's the same amount or not. It doesn't fucking matter. We're both like contributing to this team.
And it's almost like you judge the person for equal contribution as a human being, and not only instead financial,
like,
contribution.
Well, here's what the stereotypes are saying I should be doing.
Money, or like,
that I'm doing less or more.
Exactly. Like, am I cleaning the bathroom, or is he or she cleaning? It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just a human being.
Needs to be done. Let's make it happen.
But now, even though we have very little or none of that in our current relationships, in our brain, we still have the dialogue with ourselves.
It's there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And clearly it is in our relationships if we're apologizing for it, you know? Like, as much as we'd like to tell ourselves it doesn't play a role, it is. It's just in a weird different way than it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super strange. What a mindfuck.
Mm-hmm. Bring that up, guys. I've been taking Italian classes.
Oh, yeah.
So, this summer, I visited Italy, and we visited a cousin of my mom, which is our, like, extended family in Italy. And it really shook something in me and revived this whole identity that I had never tapped into. And I was like, yeah, I'm partly Italian. Let's do this. So then I, you know, enrolled in these classes. And every class, I feel like I'm being accompanied, like I'm with some ancestor who is Italian. What?
That's yes. So cool.
It's so cool. I walk in there and they like speak to me through the activities and the book that we use and stuff. Like the first class, I'm just like going through the book. You know, when you just grab a book and you kind of like just let the pages
open to a fall. Random page. Yeah.
And then the page that opens up is a family tree. And there's the father, his name is Mario. And my grandfather, like my mom's father is called Mario. And he looks like my grand, like he was like a little bald and stuff. Like he looks like him. And then the daughter line of this person called Mario is Rita. And she has curly brown hair. And I'm like, wait, what? It looked like I was looking
That's so cute. Yes.
Stop. So that was like the first class. And then the second class, we're learning about how to say where you're from. And then the sentence that we have to practice says, I am from Genova. That's where my family in Italy is from.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, I'm just learning the sentence.
How to speak.
This is me. This is my sentence. Third class, another dialogue about like places and stuff. And it was like, the sentence was saying, again, with my name, I don't know, my name is all over this book. And it was like, Rita has an uncle in Argentina. And I do. I have one uncle in Argentina. And I'm like, what the hell? Every single class, there has been things happening like that that make me feel like I'm not alone. I am not alone.
The cutest thing ever. Like for your ancestors to be communicating with you in this way. They're like, yes, Rita, you're doing a good job. Keep taking the classes. We'll keep it interesting for you.
Exactly. Like every time I'm like in the class, I'm like, like I giggle to myself. And So remember we had a podcast on epigenetics and saying how like we carry things from past generations. And I'm like, now I'm like, the possibilities are endless. Basically, my message to the world is like, if you have someone from your bloodline who was interested in something that you feel you could identify with, to try it. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like, if you're attentive, that energy, that person or those people are going to come and hang out with you.
Wow.
I love that. It's very powerful. It's very nice.
Good energy. Cute. Okay. Do you have any Italian podcasts? I'm like,
and actually I have an Italian YouTube because it's easier if I also look at it.
Okay.
And this girl, she's just a little influencer. Let me find her. Her name is Adriana. Oh my God, Adriana. That's my mom's name. I just noticed her name is Adriana.
Wow.
Her name is Adriana Spink. S, like the word pink, but with an S in front of it. Adriana Spink. She just does all kinds of videos that you can like watch while you're like doing your hair and stuff like that. Like it's just it's one of those girls that you like get to know her. It's kind of like the Laundry Basket podcast. You just get to know us and all of a sudden we're interesting.
But is it Italian?
It's in Italian. Oh, cool. Yeah. Is that what you wanted me to share? Well, anyway, it's in Italian.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
So I've been like following her. Yeah.
Cool. Cute. You think it's good for like beginners? Or it's a little more
There's no good thing for beginner unless it's like made for beginners.
Yeah. But in just speaking Italian.
Exactly. She's just speaking Italian. Yeah. But because her topics are everyday life stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it could qualify for beginner. Like it's not like
a high level medical
political history. It's not like, it's just everyday stuff.
Okay.
So, So, well, guys, if you enjoy our podcast, share it with someone else.
And we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.